Hi, good afternoon, everyone. This call is being recorded. Today is October 22nd, 2009. Rajiv Askhana for immigration.com. Once again, it's a public call. Keep your identities confidential if you like. And if you don't want your voice to be recorded, please hang up. I'm going to put the conference in a presentation mode and continue with the question I was discussing just before starting the conference. You folks can hear me, but you can't talk with me right now. Actually, I might have to put the conference in conversation mode for at least one person. Okay, the gentleman who I was talking with, you can press *6. *6 on your phone. Hello. The gentleman I was speaking with, press *6 on your phone. You can continue talking with me. Hello. Press *6 on your phone.
Hello. Hello.
Okay, I don't know what happened. Give me one second.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So, getting back to what we were discussing, I opened the conference call because I, for some reason, I couldn't figure out what to do with the *6 option. In any case, so in your case, travel is not a good idea. I certainly think that you should go to a congressman's office and talk with them about decoupling this case and bringing it back in proper alignment. The EB-3-based case should still be with the INS. But I've told you there is a problem that you need to address in this case, which is a letter from the employer. So that could become an issue for you later on. But you cannot you should not travel simply because things are so tenuous. You can go back to H-1. You have asked me that question also. You can go back to H-1, but chances of getting an H-1 within USA are very slim. They will probably require you to, they'll give you the H-1, but they'll require you to go outside USA to get your H-1B stamp.
Oh, okay. So do I have to wait with the local office request to the file transfer? So do I have to wait for that? Or at the same time, I can request to the congressman?
No, go request the congressman right now.
Okay.
Don't have to wait for anything.
Okay.
Just say, I don't know what's going on. I want my file followed up. I want to know where my file is. Can you please help me?
Okay. And my question number four is it a good idea to apply advanced payrolls and that way NSC will start looking my file?
Yeah, I think that's not a bad idea at all.
Okay.
Because even if you go for H-1 visa stamping, I would want you to have your advance parole in hand in case something goes wrong with the stamping. You can re-enter USA using your advance parole. So you will eventually need it, so might as well get it. And it also is a good idea, why not? Because they'll have to pull the file.
Okay, I got it. And for the H-1, is it okay? It's like H-1 is already expired.
Okay.
So it's going to be transferred to the market.
That's all right.
Yep.
There can be gap between one H-1 and the other H-1, and it is still called extension.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Okay,
thank you very much, Rajiv. And
I
will answer the call, and if I have any question, then I will talk to you later.
Absolutely. Good luck to you.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much.
Okay, I was answering question number four. Somebody had posted that, and I happened to catch them in the beginning of the conference. I'm coming to a list of the questions in front of me. Everybody is in an open call, so if you folks want, you can put yourselves on mute. The lines appear to be relatively silent today, so we are okay. Talking about the first question, traveling abroad after getting a green card. I would like to know how long does it take before I can travel abroad after getting my green card. You can travel right away. In fact, when you get the green card approval, which is a 485 approval while you're living in USA, you can take that approval notice downtown to INS, and you can tell them to stamp your passport. And that stamp on the passport is as good as a green card. You can travel on that also. And of course, once you get your green card, you can travel the next day. But remember, if you want to be outside USA for a long period of time, that's a totally different story. If you want to go for a few days, no problem. You can leave and come back anytime as long as you're permanent home in the U.S. Okay? Next question, SM77, L2 EAD to H1B time limit. Entered USA with L2 and L2 obtained EAD on L2, started working. In 2007, employer applied for H1B, status changed from L2 to H1B. Now the question is, would L2 be counted towards H1B? No. No. L2 is not counted towards H1B. Okay? You're fine. Next question, GCNS 2003. Oh, I already answered this question. This was the gentleman I was speaking with. Next question, Satish SK. L1B to L1A. I'm in USA on L1B for the past 1 year. Got promoted to manager, but without any change in salary. Can they convert to file for L1A? Yes, they can. They basically apply for an L1A within USA, and they change you from L1B to L1A within USA. Is there any time period limitation? It can be done at this point of time. If I remember correctly, you cannot do it earlier than 6 months, but you've already waited 1 year, so you can do it now. Okay? I don't manage anybody. I manage a team over in India. They don't count that as management. I think it will be a difficult L1A. You can try, but it's going to be a very difficult L1A because they expect you to manage employees or a function of the organization in USA. If L1A got rejected, will it automatically cancel my L1B? It will not if you have not changed your duties drastically. It does not. So if you still stay on the L1B duties, and L1A duties you will take on only after you get the L1A approval, then chances of getting the L1B canceled are small. Okay? So next question is Indian visa to apply L2 or F1. This gentleman has a choice of applying for an L2 or an F1, wife is in USA, or coming to USA on L1 visa. But he wants to do his PhD. You see, I don't see this as a big issue. You can go to school on L2 also and F1 also. On L2, you have the added advantage of getting an EAD, but on F1, you are kind of removed from your wife's status. If something goes wrong with her status, you can still continue on F1. Of course, you can convert to L1 or from L2 to F1 anytime you want, and they are both interconvertible. However, I personally feel to avoid, since you're serious about your PhD, to avoid any possible interruption, I would just apply for an F1. If for some reason the consulate denies the F1, then I'll file for the L2. Because you can do one after the other. Okay, you can let them know. Or you can enter USA on L2, which is a relatively very easy visa to get, convert to F1 somewhere along the line in a few months, and you can do it within USA and get your F1 visa stamping at some point of time. It's very interchangeable. You could go either way. If I were you, I would probably just apply for an F1. Okay? Should I require any additional documents such as an I-20? All of that you have to discuss with the school, what documents you need to carry with you. They will let you know what you need to carry with you. Okay. If your wife's green card processing will start almost immediately, how long would it take for wife to get green card? Well, if she goes through EB1 category, as an L1 holder, L1A holder, she could be done within a few months. I mean, we've gotten EB1 green cards in 3 months. Okay? But if she goes through form processing, it could be several years. And as long as they don't name you in the green card, which they don't have to in my view, I don't see any impact on your F1 or continuation of your studies. Okay? So F1 seems to be an okay option for you. Next question is 143 Chris. H1 transfer in 6 year, labor 7 year extension. So he's got his, he's currently employed with A. They have filed labor certification. I have another full-time job opportunity with company B, but they would not process my green card. So the current employer is doing the green card, and the future employer will not do it. Hang on one second. Let me just put it back in presentation mode. You'll be able to hear me, but you won't be able to talk to me. Just one second. Okay. So the question here is this. Current employer, employer A, is doing my green card. I want to join employer B. They will not do my green card. Can I have company C start my green card as a future employee? Look, any number of green cards can be filed as long as they are filed in good faith, which means you intend to join those employers, whichever case comes first, and they intend to hire you. You can, of course, join with start your green card with as many employers as you like. Okay. Can I have my labor filed through a future employer with company C now? Join company B, and in 6th year of my H-1, join C. You can do all of that. And by the way, you can get H-1 extensions of 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th year based upon a labor certification pending with some other employer. So it doesn't have to be the same employer. H-1 extension can be obtained for one employer while the green card is going on with another employer. Okay. So your last question is that, would my labor cert continue to be valid if I leave the current employer? Well, this is a little tricky. Technically, yes. As long as they have a continued intention to employ you sometime in the future before your green card or right after your green card, and as long as you have the intention to join, the green card can go on even though you have left the company. But here is the problem. It could come up as an issue sometime in your future. It could come up as an issue sometime in your future if you are trying to get a green card through that company, that why did you leave them? If they have a permanent job offer for you and there is supposed to be a permanent job, who was doing it while you were gone and why did you leave them? It could come up. It came up once many years ago in one of our cases, and we were able to justify that there was a reason for it, but every case depends upon its own facts. So if for career reasons you're temporarily leaving, for example, to acquire knowledge in a new technology or for some other similar career reason, that's a good reason, you should be okay. But technically, yes, you can leave the employer and the green card can still go on in your absence. Next question, yours forever PR, H-1 to H-4 to H-1. Snigdha says, I had moved to H-1 from H-4. In 2008, my employer then persuaded me, okay, so they sent an application for change of status to H4. My husband has plans to change his job in a few weeks. We have sent documents for my current husband's H1. If he switches over to another job, what would be the procedure to get H4 for the new employer? Well, remember one thing. You don't have to switch H4s every time the H1 changes. You don't have to switch H4s every time the H1 changes. So if you are satisfied with the current application's duration, which would be coextensive with your husband's current H1, then you don't need to disturb it. You can apply for another H4 later on down the line. Because every time, let's say I've got H1 for 2.5 years and my wife changes her H1 and goes to another employer, I don't have to keep changing my H4s every time. I can change it at the end of my time. And my husband or the primary H1 holder can change employers several times. That's not a problem. So what you could do is you could either file another application for your husband now with the current employer, or you could wait and see what happens with your existing H4 application that's already pending. Talk to your husband's lawyers and they can suggest to you what is the best option for you. Okay? But it could work both ways. Next question is AOP. His fiancée got a divorce in Lok Adalat. It's a divorce by mutual consent. I guess it's a court of small claims or basically a low-level court. But they got the divorce by the mutual consent. And the child stays with mom, and her ex-husband has visitation permission. To get the H-4 visa, is that good enough? I think this is a question you need to discuss with the consulate. Technically, if there's a divorce, that, of course, frees her to marry you, and, you know, that's no problem at all. But for the child to leave the home country where the father, the ex-father, has visitation rights, that could be a problem. You might need a court order for that or a consent from the ex-husband, from the father. Okay? So discuss this with the consulate. They should be able to guide you on what you need to get done. AJX-S108, change of status from H1 to F1. I am on H1B visa 7th year and have filed for 8th year extension, and my application is still pending after an RFE. So I've decided to take an alternative course regarding my situation. I want to go to CPT. When I apply for change of status from H1 to F1, well, first of all, if your I-94 has already expired and you are staying in USA based upon your pending H-1 application, INS does not consider you to be in status. They consider you to be in authorized period of stay, which means they cannot give you an F-1, or they normally will not give you an F-1 from within USA. They will ask you to go outside USA for the stamping. Okay? But if you leave, extension should be okay. Okay. So you probably will have to go outside USA to get F-1 stamping. Your question is, if I apply for change of status from H-1 to F-1, can I continue to work? No, you cannot. No? Let me rephrase that. Again, it depends. If you were working based upon that automatic 240-day grace period which attaches to an H-1, when you have timely filed for an H-1 extension, then you can continue working, because until the F-1 change of status is granted, you are still on that 240-day grace period. Okay? So, what is the general time frame for change of status, H-1 to F-1? It's a few months. Do I need to stop working as soon as I receive approval of the F-1? Yes. My lawyer advised me to file for a B-2. Please go to our website, go to the forums, and you know the forums, of course. Go to my blog and look under B, or even under H, or employees' rights, all these entries, and you will see we have quite a lengthy discussion on B2 visa, how it helps and how it does not help. Okay. In certain circumstances, that's a good idea, but if you already are past your I-94, that's probably not a good idea. Are there any schools which provide CPT immediately upon enrollment? I have no idea. What is the time frame for change of status from H-1 to B2? About the same as an F-1, a few months. Okay. Next question is Kabaka 71. Okay, this is a complicated situation in which on the N-400, they used a name for the applicant which is not the name they think should have been used. The full name should have been stated. It's not a big deal. Don't worry too much about it. I would advise you to do two or three things. One, I would advise you to go ahead and send a letter to INS in writing stating what has happened, giving her petition number, etc. Okay. Number two, I would want you to contact your congressman's office, explain to them the problem, show them a copy of the letter that you already sent, and tell them to help. And number three, be prepared to tell the inspection officer, whoever interviews her, the INS officer, that she had that issue. So this should be corrected fairly easily. I don't think it's a problem. Okay, now, which could cause some additional delays if they have to do the FBI all over again. But normally it should not be, because, you see, the FBI name check also is done with her A number. You know, they have the A number. So I don't think it should be any confusion about her identity. Okay, I don't really know how they would handle it, but it should not be a major issue as long as you correct it. Okay. Next question, RIRE01, family-based immigration. I'm a U.S. citizen, like to file for both my parents and my sister. Dad does not want to start the process now. Okay. Can I go ahead and file for my mom, or wait till she go apply for another visiting visa? No, no. You should, if she's going to come and live here, you should get her green card. Don't bring her here on a tourist visa. That's not necessary. If within a year, year and a half, she should get her green card anyway. So might as well get her here on green card. That's the way I do it. Number two, how about her sister? How can I help her? Well, your mom can apply for her if she's single. She's 22 years old. Your mom can apply for her. You can check out from the visa bulletin how much time that takes. Other than that, the only other option is a student visa or an H-1 visa if she's a professional or an L-1 visa. Every other option is just like everybody else in the world. She will not have any special privilege because she's the sister of a U.S. citizen. Okay? So one option is through your mother once she gets here. The other option is through you, but it takes several years. And by the way, if she applies to your mother, then she has to stay single until she comes into the United States. Okay? And of course, the last option is student visa, H-1 visa type of thing. Next question, Mala Jat. This is a case in which they were scheduled for a citizenship interview, then they were descheduled. Okay, now it looks like they might be scheduled again. Do I info fast? Do I get an attorney? Can an attorney help? Can suing USCIS help? I think any number of things can help. But the first approach is always, in my opinion, a congressman. So go to your congressman's office, explain to them the circumstances. Most of the congressmen that I've heard of are pretty cooperative. They are not, you know, they try to help as many people as they can. Two or three staffers in their office are devoted to just sorting out people's immigration problems. Okay, so approach it that way. Next question is Alfal. Will L1 stamping cancel or affect pre-existing L2 stamping? Well, this is the way it works. Whenever you apply for a visa and you have another visa on your passport, technically, the consulates are supposed to cancel all existing visas. That's what I understand the procedure to be. Okay? However, as a practical matter, they often do not cancel. So if somebody had an L2 visa stamp, they go to the consulate, apply for an L1, there are two possibilities. Either the consulate will first cancel all the existing visas before even considering the L1 visa application, or they won't. If they don't, then there is no problem. If the L1 is denied, the L2 is still good. They can travel on that L2 visa. But if the L1 is denied and the L2 has also been canceled, they can always reapply for the L2 visa. They can always reapply for the L2 visa right there. I don't see any problem there. Okay. MCTSNL, calling real parents to USA when both adoptive parents died. Well, here's what happens. Once you get validly adopted, as far as I understand the law, both US and Indian laws, you are no longer the child of your real parents. You are the child of your adoptive parents. So the real parents are not related to you anymore. I have not done an extensive amount of research on this. Law can always surprise you. But just from my general knowledge of law, it appears to me that you cannot do anything for your parents as their child because they are no longer your parents. Your parents are your adoptive parents. Okay? Certainly, it doesn't hurt to go to a congressman's office and have them verify this information rather than spending money on a lawyer. But of course, even after a congressman verifies, you might want to have this double-checked if this is an important issue for you. Have this double-checked by a lawyer as well. You can pay for the research or you can, you know, see if you can get somebody locally that can help you with this issue. So, personally, I don't think there's a way out, but you never know. Law can surprise you. Next question is Raghav, 123 Ready. My H-1 got approved October 16th. I am on F-1 to H-1 change of status. If I want to go for stamping, can I go to a country like Bahamas or do I have to go to India compulsorily? You do not have to go to India. You can go to any country. Technically, you can make an application for any visa in any country. However, if your degree is not from USA, often third countries can ask you to go back. Also, before you go for the visa stamping, make sure the country is willing to take that application. So you contact the consulate. Say, look, I'm a citizen of India. I'm going to be in Bahamas for a few days. Lucky you, by the way. I'm going to be in Bahamas. Can I apply for my H-1 visa there? And you can also let them know if your degree is not from USA. Okay? Remember one thing. If your visa is not from Bahamas, you'll have to fly to India from there. And, of course, that's not a big issue. Denial from Bahamas does not cause any problems to reapply from India. Okay. My other question is, do I have to immediately change my payroll from my old company to the H-1 sponsoring company, or can I change? Well, you can actually wait a little bit. A 15-day period is not a big deal. So continue working with the old company, give them a couple of weeks' notice, and then you go join the new company. I don't think that's going to be a major issue. That appears to be perfectly legal. Next question, Vij Rag. I have a couple of questions regarding visa stamping and green card process. I am in 6th year of H-1, expiring February 2010. I'm currently on a project. It's good till 2010. My labor was filed in May 2009. Still pending. My wife entered on H-4. She changed to H-1. Now she's back on H-4. I have to travel to India for a family emergency in a couple of days. My visa stamping is old. It expired. So I have to go for visa stamping. Now only have 4 months left on my H-1. Can I get a visa stamp? You know what? I don't know of any law that says you cannot. However, you will be eligible for a one-year extension. Let's see. Your current H-1 is expiring in February 2010. And you'll be eligible for another year's extension in May 2010, 1 year. So you can apply for an H-1 extension 6 months ahead of the start date, which means December 2009. December 2009 is 6 months from May 2010. So you can apply for an extension, and since you have time, you can recapture, you can combine it in the same application. Okay. So, but if you have to travel in a couple of days, then there is nothing we can do. You can, you'll have to go to the consulate to get your visa stamping done with just the 4 months left. Okay. But again, send them an email, ask them if they have any problem with issuing you a visa for 4 months. I don't think they should. Okay. You can recapture that time and you can fill the gap. Yes, you can get an H-1 that way. Okay. And if you are on the call, Kanna will talk, of course. I'm coming to the end of my call, my questions anyway, so I'll open the floor for further questions in a few minutes. Let's go to CRIC001, citizenship question. I became a permanent resident in 2001 through an employer. I was a Canadian immigrant. Then later on, I acquired Canadian citizenship. When I had filed for green card, I had Indian citizenship. Now I have Canadian citizenship. Did I violate any provision? No. If you change your citizenship during the pendency or during your green card application, I normally recommend people to go and, at least try to, I think there is a form for it which corrects your record. But if you have not done so, I doubt if it's going to be any major issue for your becoming a U.S. citizen. I don't think it's going to be any issue. It happens fairly frequently. I'm aware of several people with the same situation. They went to Canadian citizenship, and then they got their U.S. citizenship. Never had a problem. So I don't think it's going to be an issue. If you look at the letter of the law, you're supposed to maintain a passport for your, from your home country. But, you know, if you change your citizenship, I'm not sure they can create any kind of issues for you. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. Okay. And in any case, there isn't much you can do at this point. Apply for your N-400. If there is an issue, contact us, but I don't think you have an issue. Ramesh Raju, 11. How consular processing works? He wants to know if I go through consular processing. The way it works is basically your application, your I-140, once it gets approved, it gets routed through National Visa Center in New Hampshire, NVC. NVC sends you a package 3. I'm not quite clear in my own mind. I don't remember what the procedure is. Do they send it closer to priority date, or I think they send a package 3 to you probably without regard to the priority date. Okay? But the interviews are not scheduled in your consulate until you are close to your priority date or you are at your priority date. Okay? If the priority date is retrogressed, you have to come back, and that's the way it is. It has happened to a client of ours where they went and got their medicals done. Unfortunately, they could not be interviewed the same month, and on the month when they went for the interview, the priority dates had retrogressed, so they had to come back. I'm not entirely clear on this procedure. Somebody else in my office, other people take care of the details like this. If you are not able to find this information elsewhere, just send us an email through the contact me form. I'll try to find out for you as much as I can, okay? Next question, R. Kiladi says, this is the last question. After that, I can open the floor for your questions or follow-ups, okay? B2 extension denied for mom. Now, this is what happened. The date of the denial was 15th October. The extension request was applied before the current B2 expired. And they gave her no grace period to exit USA. So she is leaving on 23rd November 2009. Would that be okay? Look, I would advise you probably to have her leave as early as possible. There is really no law on this issue, but what I worry about is this. If somebody has overstayed, which is after 15th October, she's overstayed, then even one day's overstay operates by law to cancel her visa standing. Okay? So, you know, ideally, I would like her, these are the things that I would like her to do. I would like her to leave as quickly as she can so that when she comes for her next visit, she does not have any major issues. By the way, before I bring her the next time, and I hate to tell you this, I would want her to go apply for a visa again, explain to the consulate what happened, and say that there is a law on the books that says if you are out of status even for one day, your visa is considered to be canceled. So lawyers have advised her to go ahead and apply for a new visa before she comes in. Okay? The consulate might say you don't need a new visa, that's fine. If they do that, that's great. If they don't, and they deny her the visa, then the only way she can come is the green card process. Okay? I think she will be fine. I think if she leaves as early as possible, and if she goes and applies for a new visa and they tell her, no, your existing visa is good enough, she should be fine to come back. Okay? Folks, one second. I'm going to put the conference in presentation mode so you guys can, conversation mode, so everybody can talk with me. Just one second. Anybody who has a follow-up question on what we have discussed, go ahead, please.
Yes. It's GCNSC 2003 again.
Okay, what is your question?
I need a few clarification. The two things related to the H-1. Is it okay to apply H-1 this time, but see that I'm applying just for the safer side? Or do I have to
I'm sorry, I'm confused. What is your handle again?
Oh, GCNSC 2003. We talked.
GCNSC, just one second.
We talked in the starting of this conference.
Oh, you start, yes, of course. What is your question? Now go ahead.
Okay, my question is, basically, I'm just trying to transfer the H-1 is just for the safer side. Mm-hmm. So is it okay to apply right away, or do I have to wait some time, maybe go through the congressman?
No, apply for it right away, I think.
Right away?
Yeah, I think you should apply right away. You probably will not get the H-1 within USA. You won't get the I-94.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are able to get the H-1, then at your leisure, you can go get your stamping done.
Yeah, that will be for my safer side.
Yeah.
Okay. And the other thing is that it's an advanced payroll. It's like my file was with NSC, Nebraska, and now it's saying the administration appeal. So when I'm applying for the advanced payroll, so which
I would apply with Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And for the employer letter, you say might be they need my employer letter with the employer number
they
one.
They haven't asked for it. Don't bring it up.
Say again?
They haven't asked for it so far. Don't bring it up.
Okay. So do I have to just ask to my employer, or I have to keep? I have to ask when they need. So that will be like at the later.
You can ask your employer now if you like. I don't see any problem with that.
Okay.
But remember, the letter should relate back to the time of the filing of the 485.
Oh,
that in July 2007, when he applied for his green card, we had a job offer open for him.
Oh, so they need near to that date, the date of that time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And one more question. If I need your advice, so can I send you mail on the contact us, or can I call you? And
contact us is the way to go. And
okay.
If you are represented by counsel, we do charge for my time.
Okay.
Otherwise, if you don't just have basic, simple questions, you can always post here. I have no problem answering.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, Rajiv.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thanks.
Good luck.
Yes. Rajiv, this is Mola Jat.
Ji, Jat sir. One second.
I posted that question for N-400 that we filed back in April 2008. I've been talking to the FBI agents. They're local here in town. I'm in Texas. And we filed in San Antonio, of course. That's my center. Now, just yesterday, I sent Ombudsman's office, I sent a request to them to intervene and look into this matter so they can probably help. Could that cause any delays? Could that hurt me in any way?
It does not hurt you, no.
Okay, good.
Because no.
I just before this call, I talked to the FBI guys again, and they said they were talking to, I think it's somebody else other than FBI who does some kind of checks also. It's not just FBI that
does. There are several security checks, some within USCIS, some with FBI. I think there are three checks they run internally, but they should only take seconds.
Right, and it's like within 24 hours a day. I mean, they can get it all done and send it back to USCIS. But he said that they talked to some other chief sort of operator. I don't know who that is. But they don't, of course, perform these interviews. So
now,
soon as they release my file, only then I'll get the interview. My online status for both of these cases right now is showing that, okay, we're waiting to schedule you for an interview.
Now, I think I would go...
Should I have done this, Ombudsman, or should I just...
See, let it go, let it go
patient?
On, but you should contact your congressman's office. Remember one thing,
mm-hmm.
And everybody should listen, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Ombudsman has no teeth, unfortunately.
Right.
Men can only make recommendations.
Right.
They can indirectly bite USCIS by making reports to Congress if asked, etc., but there really isn't much they can do. Congressmen, on the other hand, have big, sharp teeth.
Really?
They can bite USCIS because a lot of them are involved with immigration directly or indirectly. Some of them might be on committees. So, you know, if you tick off too many congressmen, you're going to have a problem, Mr. INS, and they know it.
Right.
So between the two, I know of congressmen who are absolutely useless.
Right.
Who do nothing for people, okay?
I think I'm in that kind of predicament because these guys
have
a scripted response every time.
No. But remember, you have two congressmen to call upon.
Really?
One, you can talk with the senator or you can talk with a member of House of Representatives. Every person is represented by two people, one member of Senate, other member of House of Representatives.
Right, our senator is worthless. They don't even respond. I sent a letter to the senator.
To the
they
House
didn't respond.
Go to the House of Representatives. Go to the member of House of Representatives. Go to congress.gov, enter your zip code. It tells you who your senator and who your House of Representative member is.
Yeah, okay. I've done that congressman deal, but they have the same response. Okay, don't bother us for the next 6 months. As if they only, breathe in 6 months, and they don't want anybody coming back within 6 months.
Which side of the border are you from? India side or Pakistan?
I'm from Pakistan.
Dekho, bhai jaan gal eh hai. Ke jehda kam sidhe tareeke naal nahi hunda, oh putte tareeke naal hoinda.
Achha.
Je eh log toda kam, if they cannot do it through a congressman's office, depending upon where you are located, you can always file a lawsuit against the government. Because they have really gone overboard in this case. Normally, delay lawsuits are frowned upon I would not file a delay lawsuit any longer after having filed many, many lawsuits in Washington, D.C. I would not file in D.C. any lawsuit. Remember, where can you sue the government? There are three situations. I hope we have enough time. There are three kind of situations are presented in suing the government. You either sue where you reside,
mm-hmm.
or where the government resides, which is Washington, D.C.,
yes.
or where the statute says you should do it. There's a fourth situation where the cause arises. But in this case, it's one of the three situations. Okay?
Anji.
In some of the naturalization situations, you are asked to file lawsuit only where you are located. In any case, D.C. is not a hospitable environment for us. So if you wanted to file a lawsuit, I would have you get yourself a local lawyer, walk it to the local federal court, and let them explain to the to the judge why they are sitting on your application. Okay? You've got a very, very good case. You've got a wife and two kids that are stuck overseas.
Mm-hmm.
They should be able to act on your application. It's a very sympathetic case. So when you get sick and tired of getting jerked around, just walk it down to the federal court and see what happens.
So I attorney or lawyer mujhe chahiye na, of course. I can't just do it by myself.
So you'll have to get a lawyer. I mean, you can do it yourself, but I highly recommend not to.
Achha. Koi recommendation hai the Houston area mein aapki?
Look, I say this on an open line. I am not very fond of lawyers. I don't know very many lawyers. I don't have very many friends who are lawyers. I have maybe three or four friends who are lawyers.
Wow. Can you file this lawsuit from all the way from D.C.?
Not from Houston. And I would not recommend it because if I have to come there for hearings, it'll cost you a considerable amount of money.
Well, the thing is, Mera Center jada San Antonio.
Well, any farak panda, to see, get yourself a local lawyer.
Achha.
Somebody who is, anybody who is litigated in the federal courts can file this lawsuit. There is no mumbo jumbo in this. And if you find somebody who's uncomfortable with immigration law issues, tell them to give us a call. I never have any problem guiding other lawyers on what to do. So I can at least share with them whatever research we have and tell them what I would do in their case.
Wow, chalo ji. Shukriya, bahut.
Anytime. Good luck to you,
sir.
Hello, Rajiv ji.
Yes, sir.
This is Satish.
Satish, how are you?
Okay, thanks for your thing. My question was number 5. It's about L1A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
Okay. So basically my company is a very small company here. And
totally you're going to have a very tough time proving that you're on L1A.
Okay.
I just got a denial today on an L1A, which I knew was going to get denied. Company in India has thousands of people, but the company in USA has only him as an employee. Okay? So
okay.
We got the case denied, and I had told them going in that this case is going to get denied. Because, you see, if you don't supervise other people, the only way you can convince the government that you are an L1A level employee, if you can prove that you manage a function, an essential function of the organization. I'll give you an example in a minute. Okay? So, if you're not able to prove that, they will deny your case. But here is the interesting denial that I read today, this morning only. I just, about an hour ago, I was in a conference call with the client telling him what to do next. They said, okay, if the function is being performed by you and not managed by you, then you're not a manager. You're a worker. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
Let's say, and this is an example from our files. Many years ago, we had a case from a very large company in the Middle East which had sent a buyer to USA. Now, buyers for big companies can do $10 million, $20 million, $50 million of purchases in a year easily. Okay? INS denied her case saying that you are not an L1A level employee. And I said, I beg to differ. If somebody is spending $50 million in a year based only upon her own judgment,
okay,
they are a managerial level employee. They are an executive level employee because they are in charge of the function of buying. Okay? And what if they don't have 20 people reporting to her? She doesn't need to. All she needs is a fax machine and internet. She's got that. Okay? So ultimately that case was approved. So the idea here is, now in the case that I got denied, INS has changed its approach. What they are saying is not only should you be in charge of a function, a very important function in the organization, you should not be performing that function yourself. You should just be managing that function. That's a very, very difficult standard. I think it's illegal. I think if we were to appeal that, that standard should be struck. But I'm not sure. In your case, for a small company, and if you're managing employees outside USA, that's not going to count. At least so far, INS has not agreed to it.
Okay. I see. Okay.
Okay? So okay. What should you do? Do not mess with your L1B. Continue okay. on that job.
Okay.
Apply for L1A. Chances okay. of you getting L1B denial are very small. L1A okay. approval are also small. Never know. You can take a chance.
So I can separately apply for L1A, is it?
Yes, sir.
That's what you're saying. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And we have to show that I'm not doing any work. I'm just managing the function of the important.
Well, I don't like the term show because
okay.
it implies like we are making something up. As long as in truth that's how it is, you are managing the function rather than performing it, you have a good chance. But this is a fairly complicated issue of law. It's not that simple. Okay?
Okay.
Tell your company to get themselves a lawyer who does L1s routinely and let
okay.
them file the case for you. You can try. But these are tough cases to win. Smaller companies getting L1As and even L1Bs are difficult now.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I got an RFE and then we explained and then only I got an L1B that time too.
Yeah, these are tough cases to make now.
Okay. Thank you, G. Thank you.
My
so
pleasure. Good luck to you. Folks,
hello.
Anybody?
Hi.
Yes.
Hello. This is me, AOP.
What is your handle?
I'm sorry. This is for the... I'm planning to marry a girl in India who got divorced.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I dialed the call a little late, so I couldn't hear what you recommended.
I already answered that question. I said, you're talking about the child, right? The child has visitation rights.
Yes.
Okay, the spouse has visitation rights. What I said was, look, I have never researched this issue specifically.
Okay.
If the visitation rights were not an issue, then getting the child here on H-4 is easy.
Okay.
Only thing that gives me room to pause is this. If in the court the father of the child was given visitation rights, then the consulate may not be willing to give you the H-4 visa without the consent of the father.
I got it. Okay.
Okay. And if the father is not willing to give consent, then you'll have to get a court order.
Oh, okay, okay.
What I recommended was contact the consulate and ask them what they think. Personally, I think this is the way it's going to work out, but I haven't researched the law.
I got it. Okay, okay.
Okay?
Okay. So if we are able to get a letter, consent letter from the existing husband, the ex-husband, then that should be okay for the consulate.
That should be just fine.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Okay.
So do we have any particular format for that letter, consent letter?
I don't believe so. If
okay.
I had to, I would start by contacting the consulate. Which consulate do you deal with in India?
Chennai.
Yeah, they are good about responding to emails. Send them an email first.
Excellent. Okay.
Okay?
Okay, I will do that. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good luck.
Bye.
Hello.
Bye-bye. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Hello, Rajiv. Good afternoon. This is Smigda here. This is regarding my H-1 to H-4.
Yes, Smigda ji. I did read your and answered your question.
Yeah, actually, you just missed one more question.
Oh, did
one
I?
More
I'm
question.
Sorry. That happens.
Yeah, I'm sorry for it.
Hang on one.
The second one.
I think I should stop drinking mithi lassi in the middle of the hour. It's very sleepy. Punjabi guy, you know, can't help it. Hang on one second.
I think you have to drink more lassi in the time of the conference.
I think I need to drink lassi. Okay, getting back to H1 to H4 to H1. Yes, of course. Here's what happens. You can apply for positions, no problem at all. Okay? First of all, let me explain two principles to you. One principle is, if you converted to H4, but previously you were already on H1, you are no longer subject to the quota.
Yes.
Okay. So that principle you got to keep in mind. If you were on a quota H4 before, you converted to H4 or F1 or whatever, you are not subject to the quota again unless you are outside USA for 1 year.
Okay.
Okay. So that part is easy, right? You know that part. Now, the other part is, can I apply for change of status? Now, here is what happens. If you are currently maintaining H1 status and H4 application is pending, and you want to go to another H1, no problem. But if you have filed H4, stopped working for the H1 employer, now you are no longer on H1 status. You are in authorized period of stay, which is not like full status. You are basically waiting for your H4 application to be decided. If you find an employer and you file your H1 again, while the H4 is still pending, you will have two options. Either INS will tell you to wait until the H4 is decided, and then they will grant the H1, or you can ask for your H1, get it stamped from outside USA and come back.
Oh, okay. So I need to step out of the country.
It's not a big deal, though. File your H4. In 4 or 5 months, it will be done.
Okay. And normally, how long does this process of H1 to H4 take?
H1 to, I just told you, normally 4, 5, 6 months, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Oh, normally, as I mentioned, as you were telling me about a case where I filed for H1 and it is still pending. Say, for example, I have an opportunity which is I might get a result in a week and they might ask me to join. In that case, if that company is ready for filing for an H1, and if they file for an H1, once they get a receipt or something, can I start working with them?
Hang on, Smita. Are you currently H4 application pending status, or are you still working on H1?
I guess it should be pending status because my employer has sent the documents to INS,
okay,
as I mentioned.
Now, this is a very difficult question to answer. I'm going to have to research this issue. But here, I think there is a split amongst lawyers. Your question is, I used to have an H1, now H4 pending. If another employer applies for my H1, can I start working? I don't think you can. Okay? But if the H4 was approved and then another employer filed for your H1, we would have a very complicated situation. Some lawyers will tell you, yes, you can start working. Some others will say, not really. Okay? Because the AC-21 laws are not clear. From what I recall, having looked at this issue few years ago, from what I recall was the language of the law was such, it said if somebody had an H1 and then another employer applied for their H1, they can start working as soon as the case is filed. But the question is, I had an H1, now I don't have it, now I'm on H4, can I start working? You see my point?
Yes.
The law is not clear on this issue. In your case, if the H4 is pending, and again, I haven't researched this issue, law can always surprise you, I caution you on that. So before you take any action based upon my advice, which is basically shooting from the hip, you should check with your lawyers and make sure I'm telling you the right thing. I don't think you can start working until the H1 is approved.
Okay, I just had one more question.
Sure.
According to my employer, when a person has to shift from H1 to H4, then the documents have to be sent from the employer and also from the employee. So that means my employer has already submitted documents on my H1 to H4, and also I have to
submit. I disagree, Snigdhaji. An H4 is a personal application. The employer's role is limited to providing pay stubs, and that you already should have anyway.
Okay.
So the employer has no role in this.
Okay, so when he says that he has sent documents to INS saying that they cannot hold my H1, what does that mean? That means they have cancelled my H1?
Yes, it is required by law for an employer to revoke the H1 if you are no longer employed with them on H1.
Okay, so when they have cancelled, I still have a chance to get it filed by some other company, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, in that case, I just do have some chance. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Rajiv. Thanks a lot for answering.
You're welcome. Good luck. Anybody has any other questions,
sir? Hi, Rajiv.
Yes, sir.
This is R. Khiladi regarding B2 extension denied for my mom.
Yes, I remember her case.
Yes, so we are going to the Chennai consulate. So my question is it better for me to file for green card for her rather than going to the consulate again to evaluate her with
me? If she doesn't want to live here, why saddle her with the green card? Let her try the B2. If that doesn't work, you can always apply for green card.
Okay. So the main reason I'm thinking about green card is because of all the restrictions, 6 months. She wants to stay for longer because now she has grandkids and she likes it.
Then she should definitely do her green card. And you can get her a re-entry permit, which is easy to get for 2 years. Not too hard to get another 2 years extension. and not, well, it's a little harder to get another 2 years extension. So between 2 and 6 years, she could be living in India as much as she likes, living in USA as much as she likes. After that, if she's not living in USA, they can take away her green card, but you can always reapply the green card.
Oh, okay. And the current or say whichever is not going to be an issue for the green
not
card.
Not an issue for green card, no, sir. Because if she had lived here over 180 days after the date of denial, then she would have a problem. She is not doing that.
Okay.
For green card, the problem only occurs if she is unlawfully present over 180 days. And unlawful presence begins, in her case, from the date of the denial of the B2 extension.
Okay. So given that, if you are going to apply for green card, is it okay for her to...
Let us say then till November 23rd, I don't see any problem.
Okay. Thank you very much, Raj.
You're welcome. Good luck. Folks, anybody has any other questions? Excellent. Well, good talking with all of you as usual.
Common question.
Go ahead, please.
So you say everyone have in the areas like a 2 congressmen.
Yeah.
So just common question is which have a more approach to the INS?
I don't think there is any way I can tell you that. Normally, senators are more powerful because there are fewer of them. At least that's the way I see it. I could be wrong. Okay. But I think overall, it depends upon the individual though, of course. Overall, members of House of Representatives tend to be more cooperative. It's my personal experience. I could be wrong about it. But you can try both of them. If one doesn't work, try the other one.
Is it okay to contact to the both on the same time?
I wouldn't do that. I would do one after the other. If one doesn't work, then go to the other.
Okay. And what do you think about the future visibility for the EB3?
I would have to be an astrologer to answer that question. No idea. It's not looking good, I can tell you that.
Oh, it's not looking good?
Nope.
Okay, thank you very much, Raju.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you. Just look, my question, this is the GCNSC 2003, and I appreciate you go and you help me a lot. And in the future, if I need, then definitely I will send through the contact or I will call.
My pleasure, and I hope you don't need to contact me. I hope everything works out for you.
I hope so.
Good luck, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Raju.
Bye.